scriptures. It is 1 Chronicles 16, verses 7 through 36. The title of the message is Give Thanks to the Lord, and you'll understand why as you hear and see God's word. So please follow along as we start in verse 7. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When you were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, Touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, The Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Say also, Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Give thanks to the Lord. Jack was no longer a young man, and maybe his metabolism had changed. He was putting on weight, and he didn't seem to have the energy that he used to have. So he does what anyone would do. He bought bigger clothes, but soon they became tight on him too. When he found that his motivation and zest for life had begun to be diminished, it was time to do something. You know what, he thought? I need to find myself a gym and get myself together. So Jack visited some gyms close to him because he knew that it would be harder to sustain if it was not convenient. So he visited Anytime Fitness right over here in Smithville Square. The name alone told him it would be a good fit. When he walked into the gym, Jack was greeted by Mike in a friendly manner. Jack felt welcome, and he liked the looks of the place. It was well lit and clean and made a good impression on him. The music that was playing was exactly to his taste, and he was beginning to get a good vibe about this new endeavor. Turns out that Mike was not only the manager, but the owner. And he gave Jack a nice tour of the place. Jack was impressed. Mike was friendly and seemed pretty knowledgeable. He had a lot of experience, and he told Jack about the special classes that they offered. Jack didn't think he needed to get all fanatical about things, but he politely said, "Oh, that might be nice." When Mike told him that they even offered one-on-one training to meet Jack's specific needs, it actually made him a little uncomfortable. Well, Jack had this good impression, so he asked about the different plans. Mike called them memberships, and again, Jack felt uncomfortable. The rates were reasonable at Anytime Fitness, and Jack opted for the yearly membership because that wouldn't cost him too much, and he would lower his monthly financial commitment. So he gave Mike his credit card info to make it as easy as possible. And every Wednesday morning, Jack showed up at 9 o'clock, and he worked up a good sweat. He was the friendly sort, so he soon learned the names of others whose workout schedules overlapped with his. He paid attention to the rules and protocols of good gym etiquette, and he cleaned the equipment and cooperated with others. Other members would give him pointers and encourage him. And when he left the gym at 10 each Wednesday, Jack felt better about himself. His outlook was more positive. After a couple of months, Mike made a point of checking with Jack. He said, "Hey, Jack, I see that you never miss your Wednesday morning workouts, but I don't see any record of you being here at any other times." "Well, Mike, I work out religiously every Wednesday. It seems like that should be enough." Then Mike asked him if he had lost any weight. Jack said, "Well, no, not yet. You know, well, what kind of diet changes have you made?" "Well, I haven't changed my diet, Mike. I thought coming here every Wednesday morning would be enough." "No, no, no," Mike emphatically told him. "This has to be a lifestyle change." Then he gave Jack a few suggestions for websites, a couple of pamphlets on nutrition, and some book suggestions on physical fitness. When he got home that day, Jack put the stuff that Mike gave him on the coffee table in the living room next to his recliner. And while watching TV during the commercials, he would look at the websites on his phone or browse the nutrition pamphlets. Often, he decided that he would get one of those books tomorrow. He never seemed to be able to find the time to go to Anytime Fitness for those extra workouts. And now, he was beginning to dread going on those Wednesday morning 9 a.m. workouts because he was afraid Mike might ask him questions about his progress. Reasons for not going on Wednesday seemed to crop up. Sometimes he was too tired. Sometimes something else seemed more important. Even the weather would determine whether Jack would go to Anytime Fitness for his weekly workout. He didn't go at all in the last month of his contract, so naturally it made no sense for him to go back. When he crossed paths with Mike coming out of the barbershop a few weeks later, Jack had that uncomfortable feeling in his gut again. Mike said that he was sorry that Jack had not continued at the gym. Jack's shoulders slouched and he looked down at the sidewalk. "I guess it just wasn't for me," he told Mike. At that moment, the button on his pants popped. So why did I tell such a story? Surely you can see that that's the way a lot of Christians live out their faith, right? Verse 23 says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day." Day to day. What is this salvation about which the whole earth should be singing to the Lord? The Old Testament concept of salvation is one of deliverance, most pointedly in the Exodus story. It is a belief. It is a trust. It is a belief and trust in the God who hears the cry of his people and responds to their circumstances. This is the Lord Jehovah who acts in the real world in the history of humankind. We tend to limit the scope of salvation as being saved from hell, and that's unfortunate. We think about it as our ticket to heaven. To really fully be able to understand what this is all about, to be able to be joyful and have gratitude and to worship and praise like we hear in this psalm of thanksgiving that David gave us, we need to fuse our understanding of salvation with that of the Jewish people of the Hebrew Testament. You see, my friends, we were saved, we are being saved, and we have this hope for the future. We were saved, past, by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, present tense, it is the power of God. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, present, and among those who are perishing. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by Jesus' blood, much more shall we be saved, future, by him from the wrath of God. You see, there are three tenses of our salvation: past, present, and future. We realized that we were lost sinners condemned before God, and we needed saving. We then submitted to Jesus as Lord and Master in our lives. Now, in living out our daily lives, Paul tells us to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work out your salvation for his good pleasure. I almost left that out. For his good pleasure. And the hope of our glorification, when we will have our glorified bodies like the Lord Jesus, gives us the strength to sustain us. Hope sustains us. So, as disciples of Jesus, we have already seen the work of God in our lives. This fortifies us and gives us confidence. We are told twice in the Song of Thanksgiving to remember. We too need to remember the wondrous works God has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has uttered. We are to remember that our God is a covenant God and that he never fails in delivering on his promises. Today, we live in the covenant of grace, of God's goodness and forgiveness. The Lord has done all these things and is doing these things for you. What are you doing for the kingdom? Are you proclaiming, teaching, and modeling a life-giving gospel day to day? Is there gratitude in your heart? My prayer is that these truths will frame your daily outlook. My prayer is that these truths will infect your spirit. My prayer is that these truths will mold your mind, that they will inform all of your thoughts. But the rubber meets the road when your actions demonstrate the truth that the Lord reigns. When the evidence indicates that the Lord reigns in your life, other people will be attracted to Jesus. No gym advertises with an overweight spokesperson reclining in a chair with a cigarette in one hand and a donut in the other, waving on you to come on down to Anytime Fitness. It doesn't work like that, right? Likewise, a down-in-the-dumps Christian who is bitter and talks negatively about other people, who is self-centered, is not a Christian who can say that the Lord reigns in their daily life. Our scripture reading today started with "on that day." What happened on that day that resulted in King David's wonderful song of thanksgiving? The Ark of the Covenant of God was brought into Jerusalem. It had not been in the tabernacle for quite some time. It had been separated from the tabernacle. But King David now had constructed another tent in Jerusalem to hold the Ark of Yahweh. You need to read the few verses before where he started. Okay? This symbol of the presence of God belonged, the Ark of the Covenant, a symbol of the presence of God, belonged in the city of God's choosing, Jerusalem, which means city of peace. What is the Ark of the Covenant? Well, here we have a model of what it looks like. All right, this is a model of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the wings are a little turned around. The wings are supposed to be covering, both facing in. There's some cobwebs on it. It's a little worse for wear. Now, it was a sacred object that represented the presence of God. The Lord gave very exacting specification to Moses for its construction. It was kept in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and eventually in the temple. The cover of the Ark of the Covenant was called the mercy seat. And it was said that that was the throne of Yahweh. King David adds another dimension when he describes the ark as a footstool. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And I made preparations for building." Now, I chose today's scripture because of our ongoing theme of seeking the Lord, and I'll get to that in a minute. I did not consciously connect it with the ark or with our first worship service back here in the sanctuary after 3 months. But after the drive-in worship service, it kind of felt cool to carry the Ark of the Covenant right here into our sacred worship space. In a recent sermon, hopefully you remember it, I already acknowledged that the church is the body of Christ. We all know that, not the building. But at the same time, the Lord has set aside and designated sacred places for his presence. So, it was with rejoicing and thanksgiving that we are re-entering the sanctuary today. When the Lord instructed Moses on the Ark of the Covenant, he also gave very specific instructions of its proper handling. No human hand was to touch it because it was so holy, so sacred. If this prohibition was violated, that person would die. That is why there are poles inserted through rings on the side so that it could be carried without human hands touching it, right? They would hold the poles, but they would not touch the ark itself. Now, there had been a previous attempt to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. That resulted in disaster. It was placed on a cart to be transported into the city, and a portion of the road was rather rough, and the cart started to rock, and it looked like the ark was going to fall off the cart. And a man named Uzzah reached up with his hand to steady the ark and prevent it from falling off the cart. Now, just as God said, he was struck dead for touching the ark. His motivations seemed proper, but his actions violated the specific decree of the Lord. Now, that story has always bothered me. I don't know if it bothers you, but here are some maybes to try to understand more of the story. Maybe we apply human logic and reasoning to override God's commandments. Maybe because we rationalize exceptions to human law, we do the same thing with the Lord's law. Maybe we minimize the importance of the holiness and the sacredness of the things of God. Now, there is no doubt that we put our human hands all over the Word of God to mold it and meld it into something we want it to say. We have a tendency to characterize the pursuit of holiness as legalism. That way we don't feel bad about ignoring the call to be holy like your Father in heaven is holy. Maybe in downplaying the importance of our sacred worship spaces, we are downplaying the importance of God's presence in our lives. Instead of His presence being sacred and revered, we have put our feet up on the footstool of God Almighty. This model of the Ark of the Covenant it's a little rough, right? One of my grandchildren made it for an assignment out of the Pilgrim Academy. You may remember I showed it to you a couple years ago when it was freshly painted and brand new. And I'm afraid to turn the wings properly because they're held in with little pins. And I don't want to break it off, right? And I haven't even dusted the cobwebs off. You see, it's been stored the last couple years in the back corner of their basement. And I propose to you that too many of us have metaphorically done the same thing with the presence of God in our lives. We have put the Lord in some remote, out-of-the-way place where He won't inconvenience us. Instead of living daily in the Lord, we have made God the proverbial genie in the lamp, waiting for the day when we play Aladdin, asking for our three wishes. Now, the reason I chose today's scripture is verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. It is possible that this call to seek the Lord's strength is what moved me to use that gym illustration. There are many in our congregation that need a special strength in our current day. Some have been hospitalized. Lucia just came home yesterday. Some have received news of a fatal condition of family members, and some are mourning the loss of family members. Others are overworked, and some are out of work. There are all sorts of stresses and strains. Some feel isolated and vulnerable and depressed. Some are worried about the future. There's something within us that protests against civil unrest and for the underlying issues causing that same civil unrest. So, how do we seek the Lord in His strength and His presence continually? I proclaim to you that if we live out the song of thanksgiving that David gives us, we will find ourselves living daily in God's presence. The Lord will be palpable, a reality in our experience and our awareness. We must have an attitude of gratitude. Giving thanks to the Lord continually will cement in your mind the Lord's promise to never leave you and never forsake you. When we remember what God has done for us and for others, we are fortified. Sharing with others His wondrous works will bless them and you. We take joy in hearing the birds sing, even though we cannot understand what they are singing about. They are part of all creation that is glad. The whole earth rejoices. Even if others don't understand our song, we too should sing, sing, sing praises to our Lord. We were created to worship. If you don't enjoy worshiping your Creator, you're going to hate heaven. Now, really, that's a ridiculous statement, right? So we are to rejoice in God. In our great hymn, Amazing Grace, in the fourth verse we sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Our God is glorious. Our God is holy, holy, holy. Our God never fails his faithful covenants. Our God does marvelous works. Our God is to be greatly feared and greatly praised. Our God's splendor and majesty are without compare. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Then all the people said, Amen. 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 Let us pray. Our awesome, mighty God, we thank you for the blessing of this word. And we pray for God, the Holy Spirit, to empower us to live out this song of thanksgiving, that we would continually seek you, that we would be blessed in this, that it would build us up, that we would be so overflowing with our love and thankfulness for you, that others would see that and marvel at the God of all creation, that they too would be drawn to Jesus and know the unlimiting blessing of our walk with him. Lord, we ask that you use this body of Christ to be a blessing to others, that the Holy Spirit would come over this region, that would use us to be voices of peace and reconciliation, of love, and that we would live that holy and just life that we are called to in the Scriptures. Lord, this will only be possible if God works through us, the Holy Spirit. Let us be submissive to you, and let us be the tabernacles that your presence resides in all the time in a palpable, real way, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.